Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
The next 2 weeks are going to be so crucial. In fact, the past couple of days, we've been paying attention very closely at the gov.sg WhatsApp service on the new cases that are reported every night, and they come in just before bedtime.
Yeah, that's right. So last night, we heard that there are 66 new cases of COVID-19, along with two new clusters. So one of those is at Little Gems Preschool at Ang Mo Kio Street. The other is at Kranji Lodge, which is a foreign worker dormitory. And we already know that the biggest clusters are in one of those dormitories here in Singapore. What is it, 20,000 workers in lockdown right now?
And you know, with all this, the first thing you think of is accurate testing, timely testing, such an essential part when you're trying to manage a pandemic such as COVID-19.
Yeah, that's right. It's so essential in slowing things down. So this supports decisions on infection control strategy, patient management at healthcare facilities, and detecting asymptomatic cases. We've talked so much about that, right?
Yeah.
And these are elements that could spread the virus further if they're not isolated.
I get very scared when I see the word asymptomatic. But this morning, I'm going to talk about this local medtech company, JN Medsys. It's among the latest to develop test kits. In fact, they have received authorization from Singapore's Health Science Authority just 2 weeks ago. On the line with us is Dr. Johnson Ng, the CEO of JN Medsys. Dr. Johnson, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Doing our best. Safe distancing, trying to stay safe.
Very good, very good. We are trying to do safe distancing as well. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Look, I've been really looking forward to this conversation because at the crux of everything that we talk about at the moment, obviously this is Money FM and we're always talking about markets, but it's really what's happening at the medical end with this virus and how people have become aware of it and how they become aware of whether or not they've got it. So can you describe to us what a test kit looks like and how the testing works typically for COVID-19?
Okay, so basically the test kit that we developed is, we call it the Protect COVID-19 PCR test kit.
Okay.
So it works by using the principles of PCR. PCR is short for polymerase chain reaction. So what it does is that it detects for the genetic signatures of the virus. So the virus that currently is the SARS-CoV-2 virus, that's the virus that causes COVID-19. So the test actually detects for the presence of the virus by detecting for the virus as a signature, in this case, which is the RNA.
And how long does it take before you get some kind of a result?
That's a very good question. So a lot of people mistake it for a rapid test. Mm. So this is not a rapid test. It has to be carried out in a lab. The test typically takes about 1 to 2 hours.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So that's been quite instrumental in terms of rollout. So why are there... I mean, what are the differences between a rapid test and one that's done in a lab? Is it in terms of how comprehensive or reliable it is?
No, actually, the main difference is that we detect for different targets. So for a PCR test, what it does is that it actually detects for the presence of the virus. So the moment a person gets infected, with the virus, so the virus is present in the body, the samples. So the PCR test would be able to detect for the presence of the virus right away. But for those rapid tests, what it does is that it detects for the presence of antibodies in an infected patient. So, but however, I think the person requires a period of time to generate antibodies. So a person gets infected, and then maybe a week or two later, the person generates the antibodies. And then when it generates enough antibodies, then this will be detected by the rapid test. So there may be a period of about 1 to 2 weeks where a person may be infected, but yet he or she does not generate enough antibodies. And then so this will not be detected by the rapid test.
Oh.
But that's right. But for the PCR test, now the moment the person is infected, when a person has the virus replicating in the body, it will be detected by the PCR test.
So Dr. Ng, actually what you're saying then is we've got this new fight on, haven't we? And this is something that's been highly popularized in China and now we're beginning to understand it more deeply here in Singapore, is the asymptomatic cases. Does this give us some sort of fight against the wave of asymptomatic cases that we're all worried about?
Yes and no. I think the main problem with asymptomatic cases is that obviously, because there are no symptoms, so nobody knows...
you don't know who to test.
That's right. You don't know who to test. And it's too cumbersome or too tedious to test everybody. Mm. So typically, we test somebody only when the person has symptoms.
Dr. Deng, I'm curious, you know, talking about these test kits, what is your personal view on testing strategy? Because we have read reports about how different countries have different approaches. You know, some do community testing and whatnot. And you've just mentioned it can be quite troublesome. What are your thoughts on testing strategies?
I think my thoughts are that the PCR test is by far still the most accurate test right now.
Sure.
It is the recommended protocol used by most countries. I think, but of course, the country is resource limited, all right? Then it may be very hard for them to have a lab, to have skilled technicians to carry out the PCR testing. So I think if possible, I think PCR testing is still the recommended protocol, you know, but failing which, you know, for certain countries, I read that, you know, in Vietnam, they are doing community screening using rapid tests. So if they don't have a better alternative like a PCR test, then I think the next better alternative would be then to fall back on a rapid test. At least it is better than having no test at all.
Doctor, are we ignoring the cost here? I mean, does one cost more than the other?
Absolutely. A PCR test is definitely more costly than the rapid test.
What's the cost like?
I think the cost vary from countries to countries, and then it varies also, you know, when we sell it to the lab and then the lab charges it to the patient. So I think the cost vary quite a bit. But comparing a PCR test and a rapid test, I think the cost difference can be easily, you know, even 10 times. And not forgetting the fact that a PCR test needs to be run in a lab. You need skilled technicians, so there are overheads. There are also instruments that you need to have. So overall, the cost can be easily 10 to 20 times higher than the rapid test.
Wow, this is fascinating. I want to understand, because, you know, we're going into this circuit breaker situation here in Singapore. There are lots of countries that are in lockdown, and everyone's sentiment is being impacted at the moment by any news that we get from the medical fraternity about things like testing, about healthcare facilities, that sort of thing. In terms of the perspective from the testing point of view, what sort of reassurances do you have for people? Because there's been a big debate around, you know, countries that aren't doing enough testing, for example. What do you think of the example here in Singapore as compared to other countries?
I think in Singapore, we have done very, very well. I mean, we started testing very early, way back in January. And then I think we have always, you know, ensure that we have the capabilities in place, the resources in place to do all the testing. So even now, as the local cases, the local transmission has gone up, I think we are also starting to ramp up on the testing. And I think locally, we have a very good ecosystem, right? We have the labs that could provide the testing, and we have companies like us that could provide the PCR tests and the solutions. So I think we have quite a good ecosystem. And I think the key to managing the outbreak really starts from the testing. Yeah, so without testing, you can't know whether a person is infected or not. And without knowing whether a person is infected or not, you can't, you know, isolate a person or treat a person or carry out your containment measures. So really, like what WHO says, you know, to contain or to suppress the outbreak really is to test. So I think in Singapore, we've done very well in that regard, because right very early on, even A-Star also came out with their own test, and then we really started to test people, and we have the capabilities, we have the resources, we have the labs available to carry out this testing at a large scale.
Dr. Ng, forgive me if I'm putting you in the frame on the next question, but it feels very relevant at the moment. We know that there is an expanding cluster here in Singapore in a workers' dormitory, 20,000 workers under lockdown, and obviously there needs to be testing of everyone in that lockdown. How does it work when you're in a situation like that? Who pays for it? Which agencies get involved? Can you give us some perspective and just a viewpoint on this?
Yeah, I think that's a very valid question. I think in this case, I think the government has done very well. I think the government is paying for the cost of all this testing, in spite of all the high cost. And then, so I think, you know, it's very important that, you know, all this is done, and because we could afford it, right? We're very thankful. We live in Singapore. Our government could afford all this testing. So if in a different place, in a less developed country, that may not be possible, all right? Because the government simply won't have the resources to test, say, 20,000 workers. Mm. Yeah.
We're speaking with Dr. Johnson Ng, the CEO of JN Medsys. Dr. Ng, I'm curious to that point as well. And congratulations, by the way, on getting a license approval for your business.
Thank you.
What does it mean here? I mean, how many kits are you expecting to produce? Where are you going to be sending these kits to?
Yes, so the HSA approval actually allows us to sell the kits to local labs.
Right.
But, you know, having said that, I mean, ever since we got the HSA approval, we have had a lot of inquiries, and a lot of them are coming from overseas. I think overseas, especially in a lot of developing countries, there was very high demand for all these test kits. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the cases spread so quickly globally, and I think there was not enough test kits going around. So we, you know, since 2 weeks ago, we have received so much inquiries with regards to the test kits. And then we are really trying to ramp up the production. So we were actually caught by surprise a little bit by the demand. So I think now we are trying to ramp up production. And honestly, it has not been easy because of the global supply chain crunch. You know, getting raw materials in now takes longer than before. But we're trying to ramp up. And then eventually, I think we should be able to do like 50,000 tests to 100,000 tests a week. And then we will then be able to start exporting it to countries. We see a lot of demand from within ASEAN, right? From Malaysia, from Indonesia, from Thailand, from Philippines. We also see a lot of demand from even from within Europe and as far as Latin America.
That is absolutely fascinating. I just wondered, are you getting any help with that? Because obviously it is quite challenging to meet that demand right now. Are you getting any help? What sort of help at all?
I think we got help. So very early on, I think Enterprise Singapore also chipped in to help to kind of publicize about our kit. I think right now we are trying to focus on ramping up the manufacturing. So for us, we then decide to work with partners, all right, commercial partners who can help us to bring our product overseas. So one of the partners that we're working with is this company called XYXX Lab in Singapore. So they are our commercial partner. So they are helping to distribute our test kits to a lot of companies or even to government agencies beyond the shores of Singapore, in ASEAN, in Europe, and even in Africa or the Middle East, because I think they have a lot of contacts with companies there, even with the government agencies there. So I think they were able to help us to get these kits directly to those people who need it the most.
Yeah, it certainly helps. And I just wondered, right, you had mentioned how difficult it is given supply chain disruption to get those raw materials. What about on that front?
Yes, it was challenging. So because globally flights have been cut, so it was very hard to even get, you know, to bring in supplies, and it was also hard, you know, for us to ship our test kits. So we had some delays in terms of bringing the raw supplies and all that. So we really had to manage the supply chain very well. And so it was challenging, but I think so far we are coping just fine. And then we planning ahead, so we are ramping up. So to just make sure that we make enough to support the needs of our buyers.
We've been speaking with Dr. Johnson Ng, the CEO of JN Medsys. Dr. Ng, thank you so much for your time. Stay safe and stay healthy, yeah?
All right. Thank you, guys. All right. Stay safe.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.